terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
He says, don't mention the names of their gods. That has to do with your mouth. Don't swear by them. That has to do with what you trust in. Don't serve them. That has to do with your priorities and time. Your time priorities. And don't bow down to them. Give honor to them by your actions. So let me say that again. This thing that remains, this worldly influence, I'll put it that way, not godly influence. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about their ways. Don't get in their pattern of speaking. Don't speak to that thing. Don't swear by. No, really, I promise. Honestly, really, trust me. It's that thing you put your trust in. And you say, how do I put my trust in that thing? I don't know, because that thing gives you some feeling of self-worth and value, so you keep going back to it. Mr. MasterCard calls your name when you're out and you see a neat outfit you want, or a gun, put it on the guy's side, right? And you just feel good when you got that new thing. You're trusting in it to give you that feeling. To serve. Well, when you serve, that's where you put your priorities, your time. And so I think we all can think of things that eat up our time that's probably not good for us. I mean, I think we can all do that. And bow down to them. That is, honor them by our actions themselves. It's amazing to me when people have a thing, and I'm going to be straight, a sin, in their life they're struggling with for years. They will tell you it's not a problem. They will tell you it's private, it's nobody else's business. But you got to recognize by the actions you live out, you give honor to that thing. It's important to me. I give it control in my life. That which you obey is your, that's in Paul, that which you obey becomes your master. And some of us have masters that we've been trying to get rid of for a long time. You get to that point. Well, here's the problem we don't understand. Now watch the phrase. Do not be deceived. What's that tell me? That this is an area we can be deceived in. We've ran into this phrase before. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character or good morals, depending on which version you have. It never says, don't be deceived. The good guy's going to change the crowd. It doesn't say that. For some reason, we think we can consume, participate in things that aren't healthy to our spiritual lives, but I'm matured. It won't get me. Amen. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Yeah, it can. And that might be in the context we might think of as people, but it's still a thing. Okay? Paul, by the way, that's in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 is talking about a man in the body that's immoral. He's behaving immorally. I'm not going to say that because of the children here today, and they might ask you, what in the world does that mean, Daddy? Okay, and I don't think you want to deal with that. And here's what he says. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole loaf? Wait a minute. You have a whole body of believers in Corinth. One guy run amok. Be careful. That spreads. That spreads. Now, not only does it spread in that sense, but that one little thing you have in your life, the polygamy case I dealt with this week started with one husband. Then two. Then three. Just one. We've all know, but you tell your kids that little lies lead to bigger ones. Right? You tell a little lie, Junior, then you have to lie bigger to cover your... But that's true with most of the things that you do in your life that you probably wouldn't want Pastor to know. He tells them to throw the guy out, by the way. Get rid of the leaven. All right? And he calls... In Galatians 5, Paul talks about disobedience as this kind of leaven that spreads. Jesus, he talks about this idea of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Okay? What hypocrisy spread? They didn't live what they said. They acted one way in church on Sunday, and they lived another way. Be careful, that spreads. He says, be careful. Let me put it in the way Paul says it. Don't be deceived by the leaven of the Pharisees. This idea that somehow we can run around in the things of the world and not be influenced by it. Hell, I'll go back to being 12. When you thought you were being an individual when you cut your hair like everybody else. Why are you doing that? Well, I just want to be myself. And you look at your teenager and you go, everybody's wearing that. How does that make you an individual? Because they can't see they're being influenced by everyone else. But for some reason, we get adults, and I'm going to meddle here a little bit. We can watch the same thing, listen to the same thing, read the same thing, and do all the other things. But that don't affect me because I'm saved. I'm one of God's. Yeah, I know. I know you are. Here's the point. In this regard, the call to the obedience that a leader gives is always a call to separation. Young people, listen to me. When dad or mom's calling you to the obedience of God's word means this, you're going to be a weirdo. A peculiar people. We've ran into that. What's peculiar mean? Odd. Who wants to be the odd guy? How many of you want like to show up at a formal event in casual clothes? Or otherwise. You show up in tux and everybody else is in overalls. Oops. Just in that regard. Okay? Nobody wants to. I understand that, young people. I understand the feeling. But obedience by its nature moves you to separation. There's another word for that called holy. So we've lost any kind of idea of holiness, because when we say holiness, we automatically think legalism. That's what we tend to think because of particular past history, which we talked about on Wednesday nights. So, but there is, obedience demands separation by its nature, because the world does not and cannot, okay, according to Romans and Corinthians, cannot obey the law. They can't do it. So when you do, that makes you odd. So I guess you could say this. It isn't one of my points, but I guess you could say this. That obedience call, a godly leader will also call you to separation by definition of what obedience is. A godly leader will tell the truth regarding the consequences of sin. Okay? Watch what he says. Man, watch what Joshua says. But just as all the good things that God, the Lord God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring about all the evil things. No. God would never do that. Until he has destroyed you from off of this good land that the Lord your God has given you. Does that actually take place? Yes, it does. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you to go, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly off the good land that he has given you. See, there's a big movement today that God doesn't send you to hell. If he does send you to hell, it's not for eternity. It's not from the wrath of God you were saved. I mean, God would never be angry, right? After all, he's good. A godly leader is going to tell you, you live like that, it is going to bite you. Young people, you're dating that fellow, that guy, and you're getting time alone by yourselves, I don't care who you are, that's going to bite you. If nothing else will mean you'll give your heart away to someone who later leaves you, so when you find yourself a spouse, you've already given your heart away once. Skip your body. If you think you can have lunch with your secretary or have late night business meetings and think that ain't going to get you. And I know she's not as beautiful as your wife. Doesn't matter. Look at Princess Di and the other lady. I've been doing this a long time, and I've seen affairs, and 99% had nothing to do with looks. Some connection was made and some time spent together, even if it's typing. You think you can and not bite you. Yeah, right. A godly leader is going to tell you there is consequences to that behavior. Now, I'm going to mess a little bit, and I don't want to offend anybody. You can't directly show me in Scripture where smoking a cigarette sin. You can't do that. But a godly leader is going to tell you, Junior, listen, son. I know all your other friends are smoking, and I might not be able to show you Scripture, but I can take you to the graveyard and show you a bunch that there's consequences to that action. If your leader does not warn you of the consequences of your actions, he don't love you. She don't love you. Did you hear me, young people? When mama says, no, you ain't hanging out with them, she remembers the verse we just read and loves you enough to warn you. You just don't love me. You hate me. You don't want me to have any fun. And we say the same thing to God as adults. Watch Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 15. And God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, or shepherds, right? So that's leadership, right? To equip the saints to do the work of ministry, to fulfill their own purpose, to build up the body of Christ until they attain unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so they may no longer be children. My analogies of children, okay? Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. That word is teaching. That's all that word means. By the human cunning and the craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking to these leaders, he gave them that they would do this. Speak the truth in love. So that we would be grown up in every way into him, to his head, Christ Jesus. My job, from that scripture alone, I can tell you part of the task given me as a shepherd, a pastor, is to give you the truth. Even when you don't like it. Just like for a parent. Just like a police officer when he pulls you over. I'm sorry, you're going too fast. I'm giving you a ticket. Why? Because people die that way. And of course, you don't think you will. Just like a teenager. Listen to what he says in the context of this remnant and keeping from clinging to this remnant. We're in verse 13, back in Joshua 23. Know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive out these nations before you. If you're not listening, if you don't cling to me and you cling to them, I'm not moving them out of the way. No, you don't get it. See that thing you've been fighting with all your life, your Christian life, waiting to overcome? You're waiting for God to come along and fix it for you? No, he said, no. You cling to it, I back away from it. Okay? I'm not going to fight it for you. See, we wait to get the EBGBs, some wave of the Spirit, and all of a sudden, we will no longer have the desire. No. You forgot this part. You're supposed to be doing the driving, the fighting, and then I'll take care of it. It's not a passive process. Will not drive these out. Here's what they will be. That thing will be to you. Will be a snare, a trap on your sides, thorns in your eyes. Ouch. Until you perish from this good ground. Now, I know we're talking about ground here literally, but there's a principle here. This thing that you've chose to cling to instead of God, God says, that's all right. That's all right. I know where I'm not wanted, if I could say it like that. You go ahead. I'll let you have that. You can do that. But it's going to be a trap to you, a snare to you. It's even going to blind you. Doesn't say it's in your hell necessarily. I'm not saying that. But that fight is going to be one heck of a fight. That struggle is going to be greater because for a long time now, you've portioned that part of your heart, your mind, your life out and says, God, you can't go there. He says, that's okay. I'm not going to knock the door down. Once you unlock the door and open it, I might walk in. Okay? But we forget the very practical side of the Christian life. We've talked about this before. That's all those do these things the Hebrews had to do. Wear these clothes things. Wear your hair this way things. And I know we don't have to do them today, but he's trying to tell us there's a practical side. Ladies, listen to me. There's a practical side, young ladies. If you don't want the boys to look at you as a sex object, don't dress like one. I'm not saying it's your fault. I didn't say that. But you got to realize there's consequences to your actions. All right? There's something's going to happen. When you behave a certain way, what you practice will come out. If you've decided this is what I'm going to do, I want to live this way, and I want to practice this way, I'm going to do this. God says, that's right, you go ahead, I'll let you. Have you ever did that with your young teenager? Young adult living in your house still. That's fine. All right, I release you. Go do your thing. And you know what you're saying. They don't know it because they don't believe you. Come back when you're in deep pain because then I know you'll understand. When you've been hurt, when it's cost you something, maybe then you'll unlock that door and let me in. Okay? Stop clinging to those fleshly desires, those things, and cling to God. Godly leader will obey God, not the whims of the crowd. Now, I'm going to be honest. This part just stirs me as I might be listening to a church leader and I hear him take a scripture and do a big twisto on it because he doesn't want it to say what it says. Because there's people sitting in the pew. He's not going to stand there and say, is that for me in my house? No, no. He's going, wait a minute. Whatever y'all want in your house, I'll do. Man, when I see it, and there are certain doctrinal things I see over and over and over again, because what we've allowed is allowed the nation around us, even though there's just a remnant of it in the church, we've allowed that to come in and try to tell, and the leaders won't stand up and say, no, man, I'm following God and His Word. I ain't following you. And if you want to leave, go right ahead. That's what Joshua says. If you want to go, you go ahead. But I'm not. If I'm the only one, just me and my house, if we're the only ones left here fighting the enemy, that's fine with me. Husbands, listen, fathers, listen to me. You need to be going this. I don't care if you're my best friend, Junior. I'm doing it God's way in this house. And here, ready? And if you don't like it this way, you can. And let me put it the way Paul said it, throw the guy out. But wait a minute, that's my baby. I know, but remember, you got other babies probably. And remember that scripture, don't be deceived, bad company corrupts good character? Yeah, you want to risk your other ones for that one? Oh, now I'm meddling, I know that. All right? Or the job you have that's challenging you to do things unethically, you need to say, Dad, for me and my house, I'm out here, I'm unemployed, but I'm following God. Well, my wife won't let me lead my family. Yeah, but you ain't accountable to your wife. You're accountable to God. You got to look at her and say, baby, that may be what you want to do, but as for this house. Well, that's male chauvinist, isn't it? Well, I got some doctrine for you. Okay? And that's one of those areas I see compromise all the time, is that doctrine. Paul himself links it to creation, and I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to bury myself in trouble. And okay? Next one. Now that we don't like. A godly leader will tell the people the truth about themselves. We get over in Joshua chapter 4 and he goes through this whole thing. Man, God's done all these things. You can choose to serve, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And the people go, yeah, we'll do it. Listen to what, you just love this, man, Joshua says. But Joshua said to the people, you aren't able to serve the Lord, for he is holy and jealous God. You can't do what you're saying. Let me put it another way. Well, you know, people are basically good. No, that ain't Bible. Bible says you're basically bad, evil, wicked. Jesus says, out of the heart of man come, and there's a whole list of ugly things. The heart is this man of deceitfully wicked. There are those out there that want to teach this doctrine. No, 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 no. There's what we call the doctrine of original sin. That is that man doesn't have a sin nature. He's basically good. Then you got a problem with the millennium. Watch. For 1,000 years, if you're amillennial, come talk to me. I'll rip it apart. Okay, so there's a millennium. Jesus is ruling and reigning with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, what do people do? Rebel. It isn't the environment. Christ is ruling. It isn't corrupt leadership or standards. God will rule for 1,000 years, and man's sin nature will rise up against him. A godly leader will let you know you'll have a tendency to jump in with the other nations. It's going to be, you're going to want to do it. He even talks about, when he talks about the history, he talks about Balaam and Beor. Okay? Where Balaam couldn't curse God's people. So what did Balaam tell the king to do? The other king, the bad king. Just send in the women. They got a sin nature. Just send in the pretty women. And the sin nature will take over. So when he, back there, when that leader's telling you about those influences, here's what he's saying. You got sin nature, man. And you'll fall as fast as the last guy. You'll fall. I'm sorry. You're not holy in and of yourself. You're only holy in the righteousness of Christ. I got to keep moving. A leader is willing to tell you the truth about yourself. Finally, and we don't like this part either, a godly leader will hold the people accountable. None of your business. You get out of my life. Don't judge me. What Joshua does, oh, and I think I have a picture of that. Let me see. Yeah, this is in Shechem, in old Shechem. Remember I told you I'd refer to it? See this pillar right here? The Bible says, and Joshua decides to raise up a stone pillar. As an ed. What's an ed? Remember last week? A witness. He just uses the feminine term here. An Edwina. I don't know. Okay. An ed. A witness. You're a witness against yourself. I'm putting a stone up. I'm holding you accountable. You said you're going to do it God's way? Good. Then I'm going to make sure you're going to do it God's way. I'm going to hold you accountable to your own words that you're going to serve God. I'm going, you know why people, a lot of people don't, I mean, that's not the only reason, but a lot of people don't get involved in a body of Christ. Because I don't want you holding me accountable. Those people, they're just so judgmental. I tried, church. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What you said is you profess Christ's name and they actually expected you to live like it. And when you didn't, they might have pointed that out. To the point, though, today, this type of thing in leadership's long gone. Sitting in the church, not ours, is the polygamist. Sitting in the church is the adulterer. Sitting in the church is the dishonest businessman. Sitting in the church is the child molester. Sitting in the church is the man who beats his wife and his kids. Somebody needs to walk up to that man who's doing that, smack him in the face in Christian love, of course. Amen. Call that out. You can't do that and claim. Christ doesn't beat me. He took a beating for me. If you've beaten your kids and your wife, please come talk to me. Please come talk to me. Okay? Young adult, young person, you dishonoring and defaming, dishonoring, defaming your parents, somebody needs to call you on the carpet. Some other young teenagers, listen to me, if you know this is happening, you need to gather that young brother of yours and the Lord together with y'all. You say, Bo, that has to stop. Why? Because we love you and your family. We can't let that continue. Godly leadership's going to inject themselves into your life. Why? Because they love you. They recognize influences. They recognize need for obedience. They recognize to be based in love. And they're going to step into your life and say, hey, would you receive that today? How many of you still got parents alive, older? Imagine if dad came into your life and did that today and you're 40. Dad's 70. You know what? Honor your father and mother doesn't leave when you leave the house. It's one of the big 10. But for some reason, we think when dad comes along because we're 40 now, I don't have to honor him and listen. Say what? And your kids see that? And then you come to me and says, I got a teenager run amok. They won't listen to me. I says, how well do you listen to your dad? Godly men, part of it is I want you to, men, listen to me. Step up in your house and do these things. Don't be a coward and go with the flow. Don't be a coward and not address the influences. Don't be a coward and say, I'm not getting involved. I'm not holding them accountable, especially my wife, because she makes me pay. You coward. I'm being straight. Women, you can make us pay in a way we don't like. Well, you say, well, he's not my boss. Well, I got some scripture for you. I'm sorry. I got my... Men, step up and do the job. Young people, be willing to submit to that. I'm not doing this because the church needs to call somebody on the carpet and we need to do this. No, no, no. I'm talking about your life. There are the little remnants of things, husbands, fathers, that's in your house. It will come back to bite you. It will. You can be a homeschooler and still get you. You got to get rid of those things and be manly enough leader to do it and say, for as for me and this house, we're doing it God's way. Let's stand. Father, we give you praise for your word. God, sometimes it comes at us so hard and hits us right between the eyes. Good, then that's probably what we needed, including me. God, help us, all of us that are involved in any kind of role as a godly leader. That could be a mom, a dad, a boss, whatever it is. Those of us who might be under that godly ordained over us leadership. God, I pray that you help us to hear the lessons taught to us here as Joshua says to the next generation what it takes to live that life for God. Magnify yourself in the hearts and the actions of those who hear this voice. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.